Welcome to Drone Time. This is your host, Gabriel Valdivia.
And this is Charlie Dietz, and we're outside.
We're outside. I don't know if you can hear the rain and the birds and the trees chirping. No, the trees don't chirp.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable. People who are listening right now, they need to know, the last time you've mentioned a drone on the show, you said you were kind of into it, meaning you really were like excited by it. But since then,
I am now a drone owner. I'm a droney. We're like drone bros.
Okay, I've been in the drone game for probably 4 years now, and I got a DJI Mavic in the past couple months, and it's like changed me because it's the first time the drone works and like is really reliable and also shoots beautiful footage. I have been looking for a partner in my drone journey, yeah. And lo and behold, the person who's standing next to me a lot of the time happens to be that person now. So this is a very joyous moment for me, I want to point out.
So let me tell you about my experience when I first got it less than 48 hours ago or something like that.
It's like 3 days, I think.
Okay, 3 days. It's just technology in a box. Like, everything about it is just so, like, future about it. Like, first of all, so we got the DJI Mavic, which is a tiny drone that folds out. So it's very portable, which is very important for me. And the app, like you mentioned before, it kind of meets you where you are and is very usable. And just the technology about it, it's incredible. This drone in particular can go 4 miles away from you.
I think it's like 3.5.
No, it's over 4 miles.
Okay.
It's like four and a bit. And that, it's hard to explain, like we were talking about earlier, it feels like you're flying. Like, when I dream about flying, that's the feeling I'm getting flying this shit.
There's this movie that I watched when I was a kid called Explorers. Do you know the movie at all?
No.
It's like an 80s movie. So Explorers was this movie where there were like these three kids, and they, like, using a Macintosh computer, I believe, and like an amusement park ride, they built like this spaceship that they took to space, right? But there's two things about the movie that are really sweet. One is in the first, and like there's this reoccurring scene where the main character like is floating over the city of, like, with his little girlfriend or whatever, and he's like flying and he just feels awesome. That feeling or whatever made a huge impression on me as a child. Two, they're flying in this little spaceship that they constructed, like typing commands into the computer, and then they like end up on a spaceship, right? Like, it's just like this, it's just like technology and like the beauty of flight, and like those two things like combined literally are on a bag on my side right now. Like, it's
crazy. One of my favorite things about this drone is, or I guess droning in general, is that it connects me to the world around me, mm-hmm. which is the best type of technology. Like, it makes me want to go out and explore the world, because now I can interact with it in a way that I couldn't before. I can go into a mountain and fly 400 meters above me and see what is surrounding me, right? In a way that I've never seen before. So now I have this mental checklist of all these places that I want to go, because I want to see them in this light. I want to experience them in this way that I've never done them before. And it's incredible that this toy can provide that feeling, right? That technology can enable you to connect with the world in the way that you hadn't before.
When I first got interested, I spent like 6 months on like message boards reading about it, because DJI existed at that point, but the market was far more still like open source software and like people hacking stuff together to make it work, which still exists now. But I had the first drone I got, it was a 3D Robotics X8, which was like the wrong drone for me to start with, because it was like, it had, in like, ours have 4 motors, this had 8 motors. It was like way bigger, and it was like I had to bring my laptop with me when I'd fly it, because the laptop would plug into, like, the laptop was doing the data back from the drone.
That's pretty fucking cool, though.
It was. I had a laptop with me out in a park. But so the thing was, the reason I got into it was I was doing like web design stuff a lot at the time, and I was just on a computer all day long. And I was like, I want a hobby that's like really interesting to me, but like gets me outside. And I thought that was it. And actually at that time, it didn't so much provide that, because with those drones, I was fixing them 90% of the time. Most of the hobby was me sitting in my room figuring out why the software isn't working or whatever. It was like, or the fun to like work ratio was like significantly less. I'm sure the DJI Phantoms and stuff like that have been this way for a couple years now, where people just are like, whoa, I plugged it. I mean, I'd like put it in Fluid and it's great and it's easy. But for me, this is my first drone that was like consumer friendly and gives me that feeling. So...
In addition to connecting you with the outside, it also allows you to create something with the world around you, right? So it's a very creative thing. So not only are you like empowered to go hiking or whatever and see the world around you, but also create something out of it and in a way that's expressive, right? Something that really aligns with what we like to do. You can compose shots and you can look over a particular location and be like, that would be great for X, Y, or Z. It allows you to like transport some of yourself into this endeavor that connects you with the world around you.
I think creators are always slightly ahead of everyone else. So like when there was first digital photography, like kind of like the artists and creators came ahead and they were like, what can we do with this? And then like then digital cameras became more popular and people like started adapting to using them instead of film cameras. And then like in that sort of stage, like those are a lot of point and shoot days. And like DSLRs got really good. And like the creative types like started taking those DSLR photos and then like Flickr was born. And like this world of like celebrating this like technology and what it can do now. And I think like drones are that for right now, essentially, because it's like everyone's got a camera in their pocket. Everyone takes photographs and most people make them look really good with like Instagram and like all darkroom and Visco and all sorts of stuff like that. You like have a lot of options for making art as just a person who doesn't maybe do that like as like their passion even. Like it's just like part of your lifestyle now. But drone to me feels a little weird because it's like, yeah, there's a lot of drones out there and there's a lot of videos of drones and stuff. But I still feel like I'm on the like creative frontier. I don't know exactly what the right drone shot is, you know, right now. So for me, I'm learning every time I fly it. I'm like, what is the shot that like conveys a feeling right now? And it's like an exploratory thing. And that's what's really exciting about using it for that.
Something that's really interesting about that type of content too, is that it is not about you generally. Like very rarely do you find like selfie drones.
Well, you do actually.
Like, yeah, that's the thing. People take like group photos with drones and stuff, and that's fine. But most
but that shot gets boring like immediately, right?
Yeah. Like most of it is about the world around you in a macro level, mm-hmm. right? In a way that you just haven't seen before. Like and especially recently, where technology, like we have a camera in our pockets, right? We're recording every single minutia of everything we do, every little detail, and to take this and just literally zoom out and see like the world is so much more than you, like. I promise you we're not high, but like I started to see like the patterns around you, like the like the world is just beautiful.
Gabe's high on drones. Like I guess that's how that works. I think one thing, I mean, like we live here in like the San Francisco Bay Area. It's very lucky that we live here because there's so many different things to like celebrate with the land. I'm from like the Midwest, so I can only imagine if I was living in Chicago right now, there'd only be two types of drone shots I'd want to do, like shots of the city, which would be pretty epic actually. Like go off the lakefront or something, that's awesome. But like once you go out further from that area, it's like there's trees but the land's flat and it's boring and stuff like that. That's actually exciting to me because I think like, what would I do with a drone in Illinois right now? And I was like, I would try to make like a movie or something, like a movie where it's like always from above or something like that, or do something really like with it that like hasn't been done or I haven't seen really obviously done. That's exciting. I mean, like even in a world where I don't think the nature is necessarily as crazy beautiful or something as it is here, I would still like want to be using this device to like figure out, I don't know. Yeah.
I feel similarly about the drone as I do with my 360 camera, where again, is this technology kind of empowering you to capture the world in a different way. We see a lot of drone shots of the wilderness and really epic locations. But what would it look like if you have drone shots of, you know, less than photogenic locations, mm-hmm. right? Like I want to go to different places just to capture them from this perspective now. Mm-hmm. Just like I want to go to different locations to capture them in 360 degrees. And to me, that's the best technology, right? When I got my iPhone for the first time, I had a map with me all the time. And the first thing I wanted to do is go on a road trip. Because yeah. I could no longer rely on MapQuest, right? And I felt like a superhuman. Yeah. And I get the same feeling out of a drone.
these things cost a lot of money, and if you crash it, you just wasted a lot of money. So I think in a weird way, like, that's part of the exhilarating nature of it, because like 20 minutes ago we're flying these things around and we're like terrified, because like at any bad move, we're not experienced pilots, any bad move we essentially make could potentially crash this thing, and like then we wasted a lot of money and we have to go back to our significant others and say we're idiots.
Well, it's like buying a really expensive MacBook Pro or something
that's in the air,
but like only use it in the pool. And like if you're like you commit to only use your MacBook in the pool, and at any moment that pool, like that MacBook could sink and you're fucked.
Yeah, I won't lie, that it's exciting because of that in a little bit of a way. Like I mean, like I've built a drone before too, and for the one that I built, it was even more than that feeling, because that drone was less money than I put into this drone overall, but the amount of time that I put into that drone was incalculable. Like I couldn't there's no, if I had lost it, I would just feel terrible, end of story.
You would have lost your 30s.
let's reel this in, we're just like geeking out here. Let's talk about like what it does really well and what it doesn't do really well. I think like things that it does really well is, one, gives you an enormous amount of feedback. You were freaking out like when the alert sound was going off earlier today because, you know, the battery was at 30%, but that's good. Like that was the appropriate amount of freak out you should be having, because if you are not close enough to getting home at that point, you are in a critical scenario. So I think it's like blood pressure raising and anxiety inducing some of the way they give you feedback, but I also think it's appropriate.
It is appropriate, although it kind of makes you want to push it to his boundaries.
I think that is the perfect character difference between you and I.
Like, I want to see what happens if it's like 3% battery in midair. Like, I'll probably never find out because I don't want to lose my drone.
I think you probably will find out.
Or like, you know, like it can only go up, whatever, like 400 meters above you. Like, I want to take it as high as possible and see what happens.
Within legal airspace.
Like, what if you could take your drone to space, dude? Oh my God, yeah.
It doesn't work like that. Okay, so two, I think like the takeoff and landing work really well. One of the hardest parts of flying a drone, I find, that doesn't have these like automation features in its flying is like landing. Landing can be challenging sometimes. This drone just takes care of it, and I really appreciate that.
It's literally a button. You press a button and it lands for you.
Yeah. Descending is actually really tricky for a quadcopter design because it's essentially slowing the propellers, so it's like giving equal force as it's falling from the sky on four corners. This drone does a great job of like really mitigating its descent so that it keeps it stable, so it keeps the shot stable. I think that's all really solid stuff.
One last thing I'll mention is flying this drone feels like I'm decomposing the mystic world around me. I don't walk around conscious that we are like a sack of like meat and bones and blood, right? Like I don't make that connection in my mind. Just like I don't make the connection that where we are right now is one part of like a larger city that has been planned and everything kind of works at this really micro level. This feeling that I get when you see like these photos of, let's say, like attaching like a GoPro to a helium balloon or whatever, and it goes all the way up to space and you start seeing the curve of the world, you're like, oh fuck yeah, that's right, like we are in this kind of like part of this really bigger thing. That feeling to me is like really rare, because I just make up ideas of like, yeah, the world is just this thing, everything that's around me, not necessarily I'm like a point in a globe. And flying this drone makes me confront that point like constantly. Like, oh sure, I'm in a park now, but that park is part of a bigger structure, and that structure is part of something bigger and bigger. And that, I think, is kind of what's getting me hooked on the drones, that I can access that whenever I want.
Okay, so here's the next question. I'm just asking you, because you're newer to all this stuff, will those feelings go away? Will you get callous to them? Will it get boring?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think so, but hopefully technology keeps exploring further and further, right? Like you've told me that there's drones that you can fly using VR goggles. So not only do you have access to that, but you can feel that you're actually there, right? And technology will keep pushing further and further away, so that at some point we're not just flying around the Earth, but we're flying in space. and so on.
That would be great. Like, yeah, for me, I've been doing this for a couple of years, but I'm still as excited basically as I was from the beginning. And I think the reason is like, yeah, the technology has gotten better. That's keeping me really interested. So I'm able to accomplish more. Like the shots we're getting today are 10 times better than the shots I got with the drone I built, or like even more than the one from a couple years ago. I mean, like the fact that we have an HD downlink of our actual video live as we're doing it, it's like that really blows my mind, where this stuff can go. Here's how we can sort of end this episode. Will this stuff be more than a toy? Will it be more than just photography? When will these things become useful to people in a way outside of that? And I mean, like, does it even have to happen? Like, I don't know.
I can see how this can translate to things like Amazon delivering packages or connecting people from one place to the other very quickly. I can see that, but from a consumer standpoint, I'm not sure how people can make this part of their everyday life if they're not interested in photography or kind of accessing this like boundaries of technology like we seem to be kind of addicted to. I can't really see how they can like meld into the life of a, you know, janitor in Utah.
Yeah. These are the things it would require. One is significantly longer battery life. I would need like very long flight times. Two, I would need to be able to carry some amount of payload. Okay, so if I could do those two things, so basically a ton more power, but basically with the technology we have here, meaning like it could know where it's going, like you could set up an automated way for it to go. Like basically I could like enter your address and I would put something in it that needs to be delivered to you, and it would just take it to you and like drop it off in some sort of box that like you have only the access to the key, right? Like something like that would be pretty cool, like a new type of mail system or something like that. But I don't think it's really efficient for that.
I like the idea of accessing other senses through your location, right? So like we can hear and see certain things here, and if we fly the drone far away, we can see other things. But right now, we can't really hear much. So what if you could like access new frequencies if you were closer to certain areas? Like that could be really cool.
You've seen that Alex Cornell video, have you ever?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So like that was before I ever met him or anything like that. I saw this video and I like sent it to all my friends at the time. I was like, this is so crazy. Cause I was like, I don't know if I believe that it was real, but it was like San Francisco technology company or something. I was like, maybe it's real. I don't even know. But I just thought the video was exciting because it was exploring these ideas of like, yeah, like I need to go scope that out, or I need to like understand that from afar. Those are a pretty compelling use case. That wasn't real, right?
No.
That was just a joke. I'm still confused to this day.
What do you think will be the price point of a drone in the future so that it can become mass consumer audience?
I think if you think about the Mavic right now, it's like pretty much, it's like more expensive than a cell phone that you had bought, not on any sort of plan. So I think technology wise, it's going to get into the same price range as cell phones. I don't know. I mean, that's still really expensive. The thing about a cell phone is like, it's necessary. And this is, yeah.
It's more like a DSLR camera, right? Like if we could get to that $399 price point, I think then people could like take it when they go on vacation.
Yeah.
Like that's, I think that could be...
If DJI made a $399 version of the Mavic that was exactly what we have like today, people would buy it like the Canon Rebel probably, right?
Right. Do you think that will finally kill the selfie stick?
We'll answer that next episode of Bread Time! if you'd like to follow us on Twitter, it's BreadTimeFM. Our website is breadtime.fm. We love to hear from you, so please get in touch. Next time we'll talk about something that is not just us gushing happy over something.